Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. It's our first Saturday in after the Saratoga meet. Obviously, last week we were still shifting equipment around and whatnot. I was out of town also, but we are back in post-Saratoga. It's hard to believe it was only, what, about 11 days ago. It seems like a long time. Once Saratoga is in the rearview mirror, it quickly seems like, 2 months ago? It's just a week and a half or so ago that we wrapped up Saratoga. But it was a lot of fun doing the programming live from the backstretch every morning, but fun to be back in the studio as well. We've been doing the afternoon show the last couple of days, and now we kick off our Saturday morning programming again on a big day across the country and beyond. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Joe Christofek, the paddock commentator from Churchill Downs. They have an evening card tonight with a lot of great stakes action, so I'm looking forward to that. Good stakes kicking off the first weekend of the Belmont Fall Meet down in New York, and we'll talk to Anthony Stabile about some of the stakes in New York this afternoon. But, as I said, stakes across the country and beyond, meeting north of the border. Our friends up at Woodbine, annually one of their big days with the Woodbine Mile, the Canadian International, and a couple of two-year-old stakes of note tomorrow as well. So I thought I'd reach out to our friend Ron Gierkink, the Daily Racing Form correspondent up at Woodbine. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board. I haven't talked to you in a while since we've been up in Saratoga. But speaking of that, give us a little update on how the season's been going so far. First, give us a little update. What's the fan situation currently?
Well, we have a limited capacity with fans and everybody's mask that gets to go into the track. And next week, we're starting, I think on Wednesday, you have to be double vaxxed to get in the track. Or if you work sort of with the horses, if you have to get rapid tested if you're not going to get double vaxxed. So, but things are pretty good here. I mean, the weather's been great lately, and we've had a pretty good meet. We just had that late start to the meet due to a lockdown, but everything's been pretty good so far. And today's weather looks fantastic for the whole weekend, really, for this our biggest weekend of racing, really.
Yeah, absolutely, and looking forward to it. Usually we're up there, but obviously with the way things have been the past year and a half or so, we haven't been making our normal trips, although I guess the borders have opened up with some restrictions and protocols and whatnot, but I guess folks can be moving back and forth at this point, which is good news, and hopefully as we move along, it becomes better and better news as well. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the weather. I was going to ask you about that. One of the other things I checked last night, and again, just kind of going back and giving us a little shot to recap the season, I pulled up on Equibase the leaders, the on the jockey side and the trainer side. Over on the trainer side, Mark Cassie having a fabulous meet. He's currently sitting with 66 wins, Kevin Attard with 24, so it's a massive lead for Cassie. Martin Drexler with 22, Josie Carroll 19. But on the jockey side, also a massive lead, and I saw you wrote about this in the DRF the other day. Kazushi Kimura, 72 wins currently. Emma Jane Wilson having a nice season herself, but she's over 20 wins behind at 51. Justin Sine, 45, tied with Patrick Husbands and Hernandez at 45 as well. But Kimura really having a spectacular meet so far at Woodbine.
Yeah, he won two or three again yesterday. So he's a 22-year-old from Japan, obviously. A really good finisher. I think he's really mastered sort of the underhand finishing and riding at the same time. And I just can't say enough about how good this kid is. And, he could have a good weekend here. He's got some live mounts.
Yeah.
And Emma Wilson has picked up the mount on Desert Encounter in the International today with the European jockey couldn't make the trip. So
certainly, again, Kimura having a very big meet. Emma Jane Wilson, good to see her doing well also. But, yeah, over on the trainer side, Mark Cassie, I had him on. Obviously, with the delay last year to this year with the Hall of Fame, Mark went in this year in Saratoga. And so I had him on during the meet and talked a little bit about that and more. But we were talking about Saratoga and some of the stuff that was happening in our neck of the woods. But up in Woodbine, he is having just a spectacular meet as well.
Yeah, no question. No, he's really dominated things up here, as to be expected. I mean, boy, I think he's got over 100 horses in training in Ontario between the track and some at the farm. So he just ships them in and ships them out, and he's got a lot of bullets to fire, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'll go back to last week because it's worth noting. I should have called up the replay. I didn't, but Tappet to Win. I had Mark on by phone earlier this year, and he was kind of high on Tappet to Win and disappointed in two or three starts subsequent to that phone call. But last week in the Seagram Cup, Tappet to Win gets it done over the big favorite Mighty Heart. So Tappet to Win finally living up to what Mark was kind of expecting a little bit earlier in the year.
Yeah, and interesting that he has Sir Winston in that division too, and he passed that race waiting for another stake up here to give him more time after the horse winning his comeback. So he went to his bench with Tappet to Win, and he ran another horse in the race, and he upset Mighty Heart in the race, who kind of took back into a stocking position and just kind of gave the race to Tappet to Win, and he wired the field.
Yeah, $11 and change. Also wanted to go back a little less than a week. Fort Erie had the Prince of Wales Stakes. The winner of the Queen's Plate passed the race. I think Safe Conduct will be headed to the grass race, but Hadassah got it done for Kevin Attard over at Fort Erie and the Prince of Wales.
The Queen's Plate winner, Safe Conduct, passed he's made more of a turf horse, and he passed the dirt race at Fort Erie. And he'll come in for the Breeder Stakes in early October, fresh, and he'd probably be tough to beat in that race. And really, that Kevin Attard ran 1-2-4 in the race with Hadassah beating Harlan Estate, a turf horse himself, Harlan Estate. And then the third horse was Keep Grinding, trained by Tino Attard and owned by his son Joshua. So they kind of dominated that race. Actually, all those four horses shipped over to Fort Erie a week earlier, and they all worked over the track and then shipped right back to Woodbine. So that seemed to give him a nice edge for the big race on Tuesday.
Yeah, nice. And Safe Conduct. It's not often I get a live interview when we're on the backstretch at Saratoga during the meet, get a live interview with the Queen's Plate trainer. But I had Phil Serpy over to talk the last weekend of the meet. I said, Phil, I got to have you over and talk a little about the Queen's Plate. And he said at that point, we're probably not going to go for the triple because he's just not a dirt horse. But going back to the Queen's Plate, Phil Serpy ships up from New York and wins the Queen's Plate with one of the Ortiz brothers on board. And Safe Conduct looked really – and credit to the betting public. They were on board for Safe Conduct.
Yeah. I mean, he certainly was sort of the class of the race, coming out of that grade one at Belmont where he didn't fare all that well. But, with Ratter Teeth takes a lot of money, right? And he gave the horse a terrific ride, and the horse was able to hold off the Riptide Rock to win the plate, a really popular sort of victory.
Yeah, it was fun, and as they say, it was fun to be able to pull the trainer, the Queen's Plate, over and talk to him on the backstretch at Saratoga. But we'll look for him again in the third leg of the Triple Crown when they get back to the grass. Yeah, looking forward to that. All right. Let's jump in and talk a little bit this afternoon and tomorrow. The Grade Ones, a big weekend up there. The Canadian International, the ninth race this afternoon. It'll go off at about 5:35. It's a mile and a half on the grass. Fun field in here. Belichick, who won that Breeders last year as a three-year-old, now a four-year-old, comes out of a third place finish in the Singspiel, second in the Niagara prior to that. Fantosioso, I think, is an interesting contender. Desert Encounter coming over from Europe. But I pulled up a replay. I'm going back to March. We're going to look at the Dubai City of Gold. The winner here is going to be Walton Street. Subsequently went in the Shima Classic and finished fourth behind Mishriff, probably the top horse in the world at this point. Then was third last time in a race in Germany. But I thought this race back in March boded well, perhaps, for Walton Street. Frankie Dettori was named to ride. Charles Appleby, the trainer here. But give us a little thought from your perspective on the Canadian International today.
Well, yeah, there's no question, Seth, that Walton Street is a horse to beat, right? I mean, off of that great Dubai form over the winter, that fourth that you're showing with behind Mishriff, the second and third horses both came back to win. So he's the class of the race, and looks like they decided to give him a break after the Dubai campaign, and he came off the layoff in a Group One in Germany on August 8th and finished third behind a horse. I believe the runner-up came back to win another Group One. So I think that's a race that sets him up nicely for this race and a fall campaign. And and he's adding Lasix. Frankie Dettori's got four stakes mounts here this weekend, and he's excited to ride him. So he's the one to beat. I mean, Desert Encounter, you know, he's lost 15 in a row. He's older now. He's 9 years old, but when he's 2 for 2 over here when he's in the international when he's come over with Lasix. So he loves Lasix, and he loves his course, and he's back on Lasix on today with Emma Wilson taking over the mount. You know, his last race, actually, in the August Stakes at Wind, he was second to Tiona, who was came back to win the Group 1 Prix Vermeil last weekend in France. So that wasn't a bad race at all. Wouldn't be surprised at all if he's competitive.
Yeah, just
the horse I picked, the horse I picked, Seth, was Corelli. Corelli sort of won the local prep from New York, from Saratoga, for Jonathan Thomas. Didn't have much pace to run at that day. He rallied from seventh and got the job done. And that was going 1.25 miles. This is a little farther, 1.5 miles. But he gets Kimura riding, the hot rider. I think he's got a shot at a price. And that's who I'm going to sort of key around maybe with Walton Street in this race.
Yeah, I'm becoming a Jonathan Thomas fan. I've always been a fan of Augustine. They used to bring horses up to Saratoga with Jonathan Shepherd and win at nice prices. And so I'm jumping a little more on the Jonathan Thomas wagon now. And up at Saratoga, this one, 6 behind Rinaldi in that loose on the lead Forbidden Apple. But then, as you say, went up and won the prep for this back on August 21st. And Kimura on board, the aforementioned Kimura. So that can't hurt either. So we'll see what happens. Fun race in the international. Let's turn the page, take a look at the Woodbine Mile, another Grade 1 event. And again, normally we're up there covering it, so I'm a little bit envious of the folks that are able to be there live, because it's always a fun weekend. But this is a fun race, as usual, for the Woodbine Mile. March to the Arch comes in for Mark Cassie. He's got a few runners in here that are taking a shot. But Set Piece in for Brad Cox comes in with a string of triple-digit buyers. I, however, pulled up a replay. Going to go back to April 9th. We're going to take a look at the Maker's Mark Mile down at Keeneland. This was the seasonal debut for Raging Bull. Raging Bull is going to be the number 8 horse here, winning over number 6, Ride a Comet, who is also in this afternoon. This was a really big performance. Has not kind of validated that subsequently. You know, the Poker was a pretty good second. Last time, though, in the 4-star, Dave ran 6th behind God Stormy. I'm hoping we get back to this performance, though, because this seasonal debut was really spectacular down at Keeneland. So I'm tilting a little bit in that direction, but I think it's a fun competitive race. What are your thoughts in the mile?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, the two sort of horses that stick out are Raging Bull and Set Piece. You know, Set Piece coming off that second, I think maybe when God Stormy peaked that day in the 4-star day at Saratoga. I like Ride a Comet, you know, off of that second in the Maker's Mark Mile. That was a good race. Now, Ride a Comet's been freshened for this race. Cassie decided to pass on the local prep, the King Edward. He wasn't happy with the way he was training then. Since then, the horse has really excelled, just workout-wise, and he's really happy with the way he's coming into the race. So off the layoff, I like Ride a Comet a bit. When he was fresh, coming off a 2-year layoff last fall, he was very impressive winning a condition allowance on the Tapita, and then he went on to upset Pink Lloyd in the Grade 2 Canny Road before embarking on a turf campaign over the winter. So I think a fresh Ride a Comet could run good. And the other two Cassie runners, Olympic Runner and March of the Arch, they ran first and third in the King Edward, the local prep. And I think both of them have a shot. And March of the Arch probably should have won this race last year. He got into a little traffic trouble. He loves the big wide turns and the long stretch. I wouldn't be surprised to see him run well. Olympic Runner had a perfect trip when he won the prep to get the King Edward. I think he's got to get that again to be successful. He's always been a little wind shy, but those two are both in with a shot. I mean, some people are giving Town Cruise the Lone Speed a chance, and maybe at a price, but you know, this is a much tougher spot than the King Edward when the rail was in lane 3 that day, more speed friendly, and he just gave up. He dug in for second, ran a pretty good race. When he went 2 back on a condition allowance, the rail was in lane 5, more speed friendly. The rail in lane 1, it's going to be tough for him to hold off everybody. So yeah, and then we have a couple more Euro types, Space Traveler with David Moran picking up the mount. He ran in the Mr. D last time, ran fourth at Arlington. And Duke of Hazzard hasn't won in a while, but he's running some tough Group 2s and Group 3s in England over the summer. So I suppose he's in with a shot to hit the tri or the super with Kimura Gang the mount.
Yeah, it's really a super fun race. Looking forward to it. That's going to go off at about 6:12 this afternoon, so keep that in mind. Let's turn the page now to a couple of grade ones tomorrow featuring the two-year-olds. We'll first look at the Natalma for the two-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. And again, it's another fun field, as always, with these two-year-old stakes. You have some horses that obviously at this point are lightly raced in their career but are showing all kinds of potential. Horses coming off of maiden victories. Pizza Bianca for Christoph Clement comes up. Joel Rosario gets the mount off a maiden debut victory at Saratoga. Royal Engagement, good second last time in a stakes race to catch a glimpse. Diabolique was the winner there. They're both in on Sunday. I pulled up, though, the replay of Eminent Victor, a win in the career debut at Arlington Park back on July 17th. That was in a different barn, has subsequently moved into the barn of Chad Brown for Michael Dubb and company. Eminent Victor here is going to be the number 10 horse as we watch the replay. I thought the scenario was kind of interesting here, the move into the Chad Brown barn, a little bit of a layoff since this debut victory, and now the move up to try grade one company. So we'll see, but I like Eminent Victor. What are your thoughts in the Natalma?
Oh, yeah, Seth, you can make a case for most of them, yeah. Really. I mean, you know, you have Dottori riding the English filly, Frankel filly, Wild Beauty. She's the morning line favorite. She's coming off a second in a group three at Newmarket. Cassie's got four runners. So, I mean, I think maybe two of them have a decent chance. Obviously, Diabolic, the unbeaten Irish bred, won a Tapita stake here and then won the prep for this race to catch a glimpse on the turf. Really, she overcame some traffic trouble in that race to win under Gallardo. She's a pretty nice filly. She should probably like the mile, stretching out to the mile. Gallardo just rode Ready Lady, but he had to jump off her to stick with the Cassie runner. But Ready Lady's debut win here was really professional, you know, sitting covered up inside and then just getting a late run to run down the leader. And Emma Wilson's picked up the mount on her, and Emma worked the horse on the main turf last weekend, and she had a super work. She outworked a colt who's in the summer stakes. So that's my pick in the race. She's 10-1 on the line. I like that. And her half-sister, Lady Spite Spear, won this race last year before going on to be a champion two-year-old filly. So, and I think Bobby Flay might be coming for this race, so I hear. So I think that maybe speaks a lot about Pizza Bianca off of that nice maiden win at Saratoga, which should produce a pretty good next out winner. And you get Joel Rosario on her. So terrific race, isn't it, Seth?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Bobby Flay coming up with the homebred Pizza Bianca. So we'll see what that one does. And then turning the page to the summer for the boys, grade one event, mile on the grass. Again, the two-year-old males. The Charles Appleby runner coming in with three wins in Europe certainly is going to attract an awful lot of attention. First Empire off the win for Mark Cassie in a stake up at Woodbine. Super Legacy, Mark Cassie and Live Oak Plantation off a debut victory. But I pulled up, you know, I'm a little bit of a homer, and so I'm liking these Saratoga winners. But I thought Dripping Gold was really impressive in the career debut. We're going to take a look at it going back to August 7th. Dripping Gold's going to be the number two horse. Again, first start of the career, nice win. First start of your career, you win at a two-turn race at Saratoga. That's obviously very impressive. Going out for our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, trained by Shug McGahee. I'm tilting in this direction. The one hole may be a little bit of a drawback, I'm not sure, but this was very impressive. So I'm tilting in that direction. Your thoughts in the summer?
Yeah, you know, and Cassie's got four in here as well. I mean, First Empire at a glance looks like his best shot, but I think Grafton Street is going to be sort of the steam horse in this race. He ran the one time at Belmont in the spring, and it came off the turf, and it was running the slop. And Cassie said the horse kind of got knocked out from the race. He's a son of Warbrand who's really trained well since then, from all accounts. I mean, and Mark pointed out to the August 13th work on the training track on the turf at Saratoga where he got the bullet. He said that he worked unbelievable that day, and the clockers here have liked his Tapita work. So I think he's a horse who's going to maybe wake up And Cassie almost won this race with a maiden War of Will in 2018, another war front. So he's kind of tried to take the same direction with this horse coming up to the race. So I expect a good race from him. And maybe you got to look at degree of risk, too, a second in the local prep for Owen Hardy. And looks like he's been working well at Arlington coming up to the race, and he's going to be a square price with Justin Stein. But this is a nice race too, and both of these races, their purses were boosted to 400,000 this year from 250. Both winning your ins for the Breeders' Cup. Both have prohibited Lasix, right? Nobody can run a Lasix, so along with the Woodbine in a mile this year.
Yeah, it is a very intriguing field, and typically the 2 year olds coming out of these two races. Wind up to be very intriguing going into the latter portion of the year as two-year-olds and then as three-year-olds next year. And Grafton Street is very interesting. That debut was back in May, has been off since then, and that Mark Cassie says, you know what, I'm going to come back in a grade one. I'll have to take an extra look at Grafton Street.
It says a lot.
Absolutely. Ron, as always, we appreciate the visit and wish you and everybody up at Woodbine a lot of fun and success this afternoon. We will be following your coverage in the Daily Racing Forum and at DRF.com. But as I always, appreciate the visit.
You're welcome, Seth. Thanks.
Ron Gierkink from the Daily Racing Forum. Again, a big, big weekend up at Woodbine, and you can watch it all right here on Capital OTB TV. We'll come back in a moment. You can also watch New York racing a little bit later on, and we'll hit on that with Anthony Stabile. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this action-packed Saturday morning. Action-packed because it leads into a great Saturday afternoon, but we're talking about a lot of those stakes, including at Belmont Park. And who better to talk a little Belmont than our friend Anthony Stabile. Anthony, good morning.
What's happening, Seth?
Not too much. We're happy to have you on. Talk a little Belmont. The last time we talked was up at Saratoga when you were doing the plays of the day, and congratulations on another nice season with the plays of the day. But, of course, we were all aware also that you missed the latter portion of the Saratoga meet with the COVID situation. How did everything work out? How are you feeling?
Never had a symptom. Felt great the whole time, and thankfully came out of it unscathed and ready to jump into this fall championship meet.
Yeah, great. And I will also tip my cap to you. Tuned in Thursday. And I wouldn't mention it, but you brought it up on Twitter. You talked about fitting into an old suit from a few years ago. We had talked about up at Saratoga, too. You said you were losing some weight. You said you've lost 70 pounds, and I will tip my cap to you and say, when I tuned in to the pregame show on Thursday, you look great.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a tough road. We got another 100 or so to go, but slowly but surely, we're getting there. Yeah, Mom kept everything from my old New York City OTB days. Today is the third consecutive outfit that hasn't been worn in 15 years, so I'm pretty excited.
Good for you. As they say, you look great. And speaking of watching the pregame Thursday, now we put championship meet, the fall meet, a couple of days in the books. Anything folks should be aware of after watching the racing Thursday and Friday?
No, I think the track's been playing fair. I think we've already seen some good racing, and now the stakes action picks up. Three nice stakes today. I'll tell you what, that pebbles tomorrow. Boy, for an ungraded race, what a salty bunch of fillies in there. 13. Really looking forward to all the action, but specifically the stakes this weekend.
Yeah, it's been fun so far, but gets even better this weekend, as you say. Let's kick it off, the Grand Prix American Jockey Club Invitational, 1 5/8. I'm going to pull up the Birdstone from Saratoga. We'll watch the replay. It'll be number 3, Lone Rock, who just has proven to be a real marathon specialist for Robertina Diodoro. Before the Birdstone, won the Brooklyn at 1.5 miles, won another 1.5 mile race down at Churchill prior to that. Same situation down at Oaklawn, 4 starts back. So again, just seems to be a real distance specialist. You don't often see 1-2 on the morning line. I think deservedly so. I said on the handicapping show earlier, maybe you could make, for me, a little case potentially for Moretti. I think once you get past those two, it's tough to come up with anything else. But what did you see in the Jockey Club Invitational?
Well, we'll get to a little bit something else in a second. You know, you got Latruska in the distaff division. You have Nick's Go as an older horse. I don't know if either of them are as dominant as this horse in the marathon division. I mean, he is just Hickory right now. I'm not going to try to beat him. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try and hit a cold flying P exacta. I think locally owned runs like he's going to appreciate some more distance. I don't know what happened last time. Maybe he was too close to a quick pace. I'm going to try a cold 4-6 in here with locally owned second. I don't really like Moretti. I think Moretti's tailing, you know, his last couple of races on the dirt, he just didn't have his old punch, and I think he's kind of tailing off. I'm going to try and hit a cold 4-6 Lone Rock over locally owned, but in the early pick 4, there's a middle pick 5 today that starts in this race. Early pick 4, early pick 5, and the middle pick 5, the mandatory one from races 4-8 on the 11 race cards here at Belmont. I think he's the free bingo square today, Lone Rock.
Yeah, and people should be aware of that middle pick 5. With a certain number of races, there's always that. People love the pick 5. People have appreciated that middle pick 5, so keep that in mind for today. Moving on to the 9th race, it's the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational. Obviously, as the name indicates, we're talking about 3-year-old fillies going 1 3/8. And in this one, I pulled up the Saratoga Oaks Invitational from August 8th. Con Lima on the front end took him all the way around the number 5 horse. But I thought number 1, Higher Truth, ran a pretty good second in there. I'm going to tilt in that direction, the Chad Brown runner coming off the second place finish last time. But certainly the Chad Brown runner that started the career in Europe, number 6, Shanisara, I think is a player as well. And the Charles Appleby runner, Creative Flair, who was 3rd. In this Saratoga Oaks is interesting to me as well. What are your thoughts on the Oaks?
Harajuku can't be overlooked. Andre Fab doesn't come over here for the free lunch upstairs in the Garden Terrace. I can see that. I just don't know how far she wants to go. Now, I know she's in all likelihood facing tougher overseas, and maybe that I'm not the biggest believer in, well, they'll get the distance against these, because I don't think Higher Truth is a slouch, and that's who I wound up with in here. She has gotten better with each and every start. I think more distance is going to benefit her. And if she continues the forward march by her figure, keeps marching forward, I think she's going to be really tough in here. I'm going to use Harajuku. I'm going to use Creative Flair. It feels like Charlie Appleby horses, even if they don't win, they all come over here and fire a big shot. So I think you got to use Creative Flair. This is an interesting race. Baby Blythe had a stellar maiden breaker at Saratoga, 90 speed figure. It's the second fastest in the field. Saved the Euro form. So I think it's an interesting race. I think a couple of these fillies, two or three of these fillies, could have a license to win. Five of them, to me, have a license to win. It would be hard for me to make B up the number four and Maron the number five. But the other five fillies, I think, could get the job done. I went with Higher Truth just thinking she'll be on or close to the lead, I would assume. And she has gotten better with every start. And I'm a believer, and I don't have to be right, but I believe more distance is going to benefit her. So I'm going with Higher Truth.
I like that. All right, let's turn the page to the Jockey Club Derby Invitational. $1 million up for grabs as the three-year-old turfers will go a mile and a half. I am going to pull up the Belmont Derby Invitational from July 10th, and it will be Bolshoi Ballet, the number two horse, getting it done. The return to Belmont just attracted me back to Bolshoi Ballet. Subsequent to this race, Bolshoi Ballet was fourth in the Saratoga Derby. Soldier Rising, who ran second that day, comes back this afternoon. There's some other Euros in here who, you know, Tokyo Gold off the second in this race is another absolute player in here. Fun race again. Your thoughts in the Derby?
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like this is a two-horse race between Yabir, the number two for Appleby, and the eight Bolshoi Ballet, that Belmont Derby winner. I respect both of those horses. You know, I watched a couple of replays here. I don't know what Yabir was beating last time out in the Grade Two. I don't know enough about those horses. He looked good doing it. And I don't think the distance is a question for him. He's already won at a mile and five-eighths and a mile and a half. I do question if Bolshoi Ballet wants to go this far. I'll tell you who I think the interesting horse is. And the horse I wound up picking against both of the favorites, I went with Tokyo Gold. I really liked his race last time out. You know, last most of the way through that just pedestrian early pace. You know, I shouldn't even say early pace, early and late pace. I mean, they just walked around the racetrack. And he came running. Bolshoi Ballet was a little bit wider throughout, but he had a bit of a better trip, I thought, just being a little laid closer to the pace. This horse was always a length and a half, two lengths behind Bolshoi Ballet. And having to make that up in such a slow pace just wasn't going to happen. I do like the way this horse finished up. Johnny V stays. And he's another one. He kind of ran last time like he's going to like more ground. He wanted a mile and three-eighths over in Italy. More often than not, I don't like the form from Italy. I like everything else from Italy. I don't really like the form from Italy, though. The racing from Italy. But, you know, we'll see. And I just, you know, I wasn't picking Bolshoi Ballet because I didn't really like either of his races in the U.S. And like I said, Yabir, you know, I know he won the Grade Two last time, but I don't know what he beat. And now he's got to come here first time. While Tokyo Gold and Bolshoi Ballet both have some U.S. experience under their belt over the racetrack, I went with Tokyo Gold at a little bit of a price.
I like it. I also like, I don't like the form for Italy. I like everything. I'm with you. Give me France, the U.K., Ireland. I'm not so much on Italian racing necessarily class-wise, but I like a good lasagna, so I'm right with you there. And before we let you go, Anthony, we haven't gotten a recap of Saratoga. So just give me some of your thoughts. What were some of your highlights? I think everybody for the big weekend, the Yaupon Forenzi Fire situation was notable. Essential Quality, obviously, with his performances. And on the human side, you know, the Steve Asmussen story with getting the record at Saratoga when he had so many horses running at other venues, but he winds up getting the record up there and then has the great meet overall with the Grade Ones, including that fabulous closing weekend. But what were some of your highlights?
Yeah, financially, if it was a fight, they would have stopped it. I mean, I took an absolute beating up to this year. Luis Salas winning the Riders title. I feel like if there was ever a moment of vindication, right, because if he doesn't contract the COVID the way he finished last year, I don't know if he wouldn't have won the title last year. And it was almost like he was owed one. And he went out there, and it was a smash-mouth performance from day one. Him and his agent, Kieran McLaughlin, one of the greatest guys in racing, did a fantastic job. And, you know, they kind of did it without a a major outfit completely behind them. And I think it goes to show having that freedom, for the lack of a better term, to ride for a bunch of guys and gals, as opposed to maybe being reliant on one or two trainers, is the way to go. He rode, he's one of the most aggressive riders out there. For me, that was the highlight of the meet for me. It was great to see Louis win the riding title.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was absolutely notable. And as you say, from the get-go, it was clear Saez was going to have a good meet and did have a good meet. And being tied in with Kieran, that just made it more special. Anthony, got to move along, but we appreciate it. We will check in certainly as the year progresses as well, but looking forward to kicking off the fall meet with this nice opening weekend of stakes action. We'll look forward to you and Andy a little bit later on the pregame show as well, but thanks for the visit.
Yeah, Talking Horses starts in an hour. We'll talk to you guys later.
Sounds good. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, with some thoughts on a big day at Belmont Park today. And again, a nice weekend as well. All right, we'll take a break. Speaking of big day, big night, actually, with a kickoff more towards dinner time down at Churchill. But we'll be joined momentarily by Joe Christofek to go over some of the Churchill Stakes on this Saturday. So stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB. Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As promised before the break, joined now by the paddock commentator from Churchill Downs, our friend Joe Christofek. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Seth?
Very good. Haven't had a chance to talk to you in a while. How was your summer?
I was good. I told a few people yesterday at the track, actually the last couple of days, because we opened on Thursday, that it seemed like a lot happened between the end of June and the beginning of the September meet. I got a chance to go back to Chicago. Yes, his Ginger won a couple of stakes races, was exciting.
We will be looking at those at the end of the interview.
Yeah. No, cool. And, you know, got a chance to get away for a weekend with my fiance and just Red River Gorge and just kind of enjoy life outside of, you know, the rest of the world. A lot happened, man. I enjoyed it, but I was ready for the September meet to start. Was chomping at the bit to get going, and obviously we got a great night of racing tonight.
Yeah, we've been watching the past couple of days. We did looked at the Thursday night card and then yesterday as well. But give us your thoughts. A couple of days of racing in the book. Anything people should be aware of?
Well, we'll see, because it was an expressway on the rail yesterday. I think 10 races, I think 8 of them went gate to wire, and it really seemed like the rail was good. Now, normally, because it's our jobs to talk about it, Scott Shapiro, Ed DeRosa, and myself, we talk about it on the air. And normally when we talk about it on the air, the track man, Jamie Richardson, is certainly paying attention to us. And if there is an issue or a bias, so to speak, normally that gets fixed pretty quickly the next day. So I would think that we'd be back to a fair playing racetrack for tonight's card at Churchill. You know, Florent Giroux, Tyler Gaffalione, they've gotten off the fast starts. Lots of parity on the trainer side so far, which is to be expected. We're going to have a lot of great juvenile races, obviously, this meet. Purses are through the roof, thanks to Derby City Gaming. So, you know, the owners and the trainers and the jockeys and everyone who participates are all happy about that. So outside of the fact, Seth, and it's well documented, we have no turf racing September, no turf racing in November. Field size has been good. I miss the grass racing, but we're going to have solid cards on nonetheless.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I've had a couple people ask me. So turf racing comes back in the spring, which is kind of obvious because if you watch the signal now, there is no turf course whatsoever, and there's that big pile of dirt over by the far turn. So that is an ongoing project, and people can expect turf racing to return on a new course next spring.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, and we knew that the turf course needed to be renovated. We're proactive about it. You know, unfortunately, no grass racing in September, and quite honestly, in November, a lot of races get washed off the grass anyways. Oftentimes, you have a very boggy turf course, so I don't think it's a gigantic loss in November. I think it's a loss, obviously, in September. I'm a big fan of grass racing, but when all is said and done and this new course gets put in, everybody's going to be happier about it.
Yeah, the end result will make everybody happy, as you say, and with the purse money, I think we're still going to have a fine September and a little bit later in the fall meet with nice big competitive fields because, as you say, the purses are just mind-boggling from the days I first got into the game compared to now. Just before we get into stakes action, what's the weather we're looking at for today?
Yeah, it looks beautiful. I mean, it should be upper 70s, low 80s. I mean, obviously we're racing tonight, so it'll cool off a little bit later on, but we'll be in line for a fast track and no issues whatsoever.
And just before we go on, I've said this to you before, you and Ed DeRosa and Scott Shapiro and the whole group, your pregame show and your paddock commentary, you guys have been really clever and really innovative. And I'm just, as a player, and a viewer, I will tip my cap to you. I'm in doing the handicapping show during the afternoon, so we're watching and picking up a lot of that. But you've added some innovative things, the market mover and whatnot. And this season, you added the Bristnet statistics, which a couple times during the afternoon, you're looking for some stats that are a little bit under the radar. And I think it was another great addition.
Yeah, we're trying to do things better and better all the time with basically the same staff that we have. You know, unfortunately for me, or fortunately for me, depending how you look at it, I always want to make things better. So I'm always adding stuff to my plate. Not getting any younger, Seth, but I like things to be as good as they can possibly be. People always ask me, and I know we'll talk about it later, about, you know, the brilliant racing stuff. Like, why do you do that? Why do you spend all your free time, you know, doing that? And it's, you know, because they take pride in what I do, and it's fulfilling, and, you know, it adds a lot to my life. And if I'm going to do the job at Churchill, not only as the racing analyst, the paddock, you know, the on-desk host, whatever you want to call it, I'm also pretty much the producer, too. So I'm coming up with the rundown every day, coming up with the innovations that you mentioned, you know, the little starting gate segment where Ed's interviewing a jockey every day. There's a lot of different things that we do that we've added over the course of time. A lot different than when I first stepped into the job back in the spring of 2015, where it was basically talking head Joe in the paddock and nothing else. So we're very proud of where we've gone. We've got further we'd like to go with the things that we do with the staffing that we have. But, you know, really appreciate the fact that you've noticed these things and that you appreciate them, because you're a horse player and you're our audience.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I wanted to say it, because I know what it's like. I'm in the studio most of the year and you don't get that feedback. When I'm up at Saratoga, I get a lot of great feedback. And so I wanted to give you some of that because I know how important it is to get the feedback. And when you're doing new things like that, you should be proud of the work. Because as a guy who owned a television production company myself for about 20 years, I know what it's like to be behind the camera and have to work that out. And now doing what I do and putting rundowns together for this show and the Saratoga shows, I know it goes into that. You guys, again, just do a great job. But let's jump in and look at some of the stakes action today. Really nice stakes. And again, things will kick off today at 6 o'clock. It's a later post time, obviously, a nighttime card. We'll be covering all of it here on the network. First stake is the Open Mind, $300,000. It's going to be race number 3. Looks like potentially a face-off between Bell's the One and Sconson, both coming off of Saratoga starts. Sconson fourth behind Gamine in the Ballerina. But I'm going to pull up the Honorable Miss from earlier in the meet. Bell's the One will be the number 9 horse here, getting it done by a neck over Lake Avenue. I'm tilting a little towards Bell's the One with a really nice record down at Churchill and the Honorable Miss a win. But again, I'm hoping top of the stretch we see the battle Bell's the One in Sconson. What are your thoughts on the Open Mind?
Yeah, I mean, we got a little bit of a rivalry going on here between two horsemen that are based in Kentucky and in New Orleans, and Neil Pessin with Bell's the One and Greg Foley with Sconson. And they were separated by 3 parts of a length in the locally run Rock Solana on June the 19th at Churchill. That was a 6.5 furlong race. This is a 6 furlong race. Sconson's got a little bit better tactical speed in a short field. She should get the right trip. She's going to get the jump on Bell's the One, who obviously has beaten her before, and she's very legitimate. And you mentioned she won at Saratoga, and Sconson ran 4th in her most recent start, but obviously that was behind Gamine. The race that Bell's the One won wasn't nearly as tough. But Greg Foley never planned on going to Saratoga. When they put this race up, they said $300,000, just stay home, run him out of your own stall. Went to Saratoga. Now he's back here running out of his own stall. I'm going to give Sconson a very slight edge over Bell's the One, and should be what should be a very exciting race to watch.
Yeah, we're certainly rooting for Greg. Had him on via phone a few months ago, and that was a really fun interview. And then when he came to Saratoga, I had him sit in with us, so that was fun and easy to root for those guys. And I will be rooting in the Louisville Thoroughbred Society, race number 7 on the card, because I think Bango is going to be the horse to beat. We're going to pull up here from July 17th, the Good Lord Stakes over at Ellis. Bango will be the number 3 horse. It's a fun field, though. Field of 6, Just Might, I think, is very competitive. Mighty Mischief for Steve Asmussen. Endorsed, the claim box was on fire up at Saratoga. I'm going to be really intrigued to see what Mike Maker does off the $100,000 claim last time. My colleague Brian Addo, your friend and mine, on the Handicappers report a little bit earlier, made Dennis's Moment his best bet of the day. So wow. Now I'm interested to see what that one does. But what are your thoughts in the 7th race today?
Yeah, Dennis's Moment's an interesting story, right? And it's interesting in that he won the Iroquois a couple of years ago. We're running the Iroquois later tonight. And then he just went completely south. I saw that race at Ellis, the Dennis's Moment ran. He lost a Derby date, who's also in this field, who's a good horse, but he's not the caliber of Bango, et cetera. Really liked the way Dennis's Moment ran. He was steadied. You know, he galloped out huge. Appears to be headed back in the right direction. That's an interesting pick and kind of piques my interest when Brian goes in that direction at a price. Just Might, you'll notice Rafael Bejarano is riding. Colby Hernandez is going to be riding Change of Control in the Woodbine Mile. That's why you got Bejarano here. I've always told Michelle Lovell I thought that this horse was just as good on dirt as he is on turf. He's going to get some pressure in the race, obviously, from the outside, though. And Bango's going to sit the trip. You know, when he won the Kelly's Landing here over 7 furlongs, Travis and Greg Foley were a little bit surprised. They don't think he's a 7-furlong horse, but it's the Tyler Gaffalione factor. He had him in the right spot. He was able to win that race by a nose over Mucho, who has since come back to run very well. I believe he got a nice win at Saratoga during the course of your meet. And then Bango came back and won the Good Lord by 5. He's sitting at home. He's sitting on go. He's going to be really tough to beat. And, you know, I picked both Greg Foley horses, and you know, Seth, that he trained a few horses for Brilliant. And, you know, of course I'm rooting for them. There's a lot of people I root for. Michelle Level trains for us too. A lot of people that I'm friends with. But I make my selections based on what I think is going to happen. The Foleys get mad at me sometimes when I pick against them in situations like this. But in both of these situations, I just think Sconson and Bango are in the right spots over a racetrack that they love.
Yeah, sometimes we get caught up as handicappers. We do bet with the heart versus the head. But you got to you have to, over the long haul, you have to put the heart aside and go with the head. And just if it works out the other way, you're happy still for the connections you're rooting for. But, yeah. All right, let's move on. I've said it for a few years now. I think both this meet and the later meet down at Churchill, the two-year-old races turn out two-year-olds you have to pay attention to as the year progresses and then as the calendar turns to the three-year-old season as well. I don't think today's two stakes are any exception. The Pocahontas, the two-year-old girls, mile and a 16th, grade three event. I'm tilting towards Goddess of Fire, the half to Mind Control. On the buyer didn't jump off the page necessarily in the debut. We're going to take a look at it. This is August 22nd, career debut. Goddess of Fire, the number six horse, gets it done by a neck. And as I say, the buyer doesn't jump off the page. This was only 6.5, so stretches to two turns today. I think there's question marks, but that'll lead into a little value for a Todd Pletcher trainee that I think maybe has some nice talent. Hidden Connection, I thought, was interesting for Brett Calhoun off a big number in the Colonial Win debut. And, again, I just think it's a fun race. Maxine Machine, interesting. Knees and Ships, I think, is also – Knees and Hips is also an interesting runner in here. Fun race, as is the boys' version. But in the Pocahontas, your thoughts?
Yeah, I went with Hidden Connection off of that debut win. The horse that ran second, Ocean Size, did run a very good race yesterday in the maiden special weight ranks over a race track that was not conducive to that one's late running style. This one is a By Connect, who's a very intriguing young stallion out of the Awesome Again mare, CJ's Gal, who has a lot of route influences on that side of the pedigree. Again, stretching out for the first time, going from 5.5 furlongs to this two-turn race. Just the second career start against Stakes Company. A lot to ask, but appears to have a lot of natural talent. Joy Runner on the extreme outside has to overcome that difficult post, but this one's 2-for-2 by the amazing First Crop Stallion, a Gun Runner. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. And then Majestic De Oro for Brendan Walsh, another one who won at a lesser venue, so to speak, at Indiana Grand. But Brendan's having a great year with his two-year-olds. Talking to some of the guys yesterday, I mean, we mentioned Brad Cox, Steve Asmussen, et cetera, as the top horsemen in the Midwest and in Kentucky. Man, Brendan Walsh is in that discussion now with Maxfield, et cetera, the young horses he's got coming up, including this one potentially in Majestic De Oro, who could not have been more impressive on debut. And again, by Spite Sir, but out of a Medaglia De Oro mare, so certainly has the pedigree on the dam side to be a two-turn horse eventually. A good addition, really deep addition of the Pocahontas. A lot of different ways you can go.
Yeah, very fun. And then we turn the page, and it's the boys in the grade three Iroquois, $300,000 up for grabs. Again, 8.5 furlongs. And I had Steve Asmussen on, a really great. I got 35 minutes with him the last week of Saratoga. But we mentioned, because at the point we talked to him, they hadn't drawn for the hopeful, but the nominations were out. And Guntown and Stellar Tap were both in the nominations. I said, "You going to the hopeful?" He said, "No, I'm going with Gunite, who eventually wins the hopeful." Guntown and Stellar Tap, I think, are more suited to the two turns down at Churchill and the Iroquois. That's where they wind up. I've got them 1-2. We're going to look at Stellar Tap in the career debut victory at Saratoga on August 7th. Stellar Tap's going to be the number 7 horse. Boy, always Saratoga. The two-year-olds are part of what makes Saratoga Saratoga. And when you see the two or three or four really nice two-year-old performances of the year, it gets your juices flowing. And this was one of them at the 2021 meet, Stellar Tap. But it was also the horse that broke the win record for Steve Asmussen. And obviously it was a big win for him. And this horse has a special place, obviously, in his heart because of that. But you can go in a number of different directions as well. I thought Red Knobs might be a little bit interesting for Dale Romans off the win at Ellis last time. And I think that one will offer a price. Major General's interesting. West Point has Magnolia Midnight. Fun edition of the Iroquois. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, stellar taps by Tappet. So, you know, you don't see a lot of these Tappets have the mental side of the game caught up to the physical side of the game this early in their careers. This one seemed to act great first time out, at least within the race, extremely professional. Duel drew off like a good thing. Has some turfy route pedigree on the dam side, which normally bodes well for running on the main track at Churchill. I think this horse is squarely the one to beat in this particular race. Debuted at 7 furlongs in August. So you know that Steve wasn't thinking, oh, this is a precocious sort. Oh, we're going to have to eventually keep this one sprinting and maybe hope to stretch out. This has been the plan all along with this horse. So I would think, you know, as the favorite, the horse to beat. The two horses exiting that Saratoga race, the Major General Bourbon Heist race, where it looked like Bourbon Heist was going to go right by, kind of got bumped a little bit in the stretch, maybe hung a little bit in the stretch. Those two horses interest me as well for Todd Pletcher and Ian Wilkes, respectively. Not like Ian Wilkes to run a maiden in a stakes racer. Obviously, they're extremely high on Bourbon Heist, who has to try to work a trip from the extreme outside post. And you mentioned Guntown for Steve Asmussen. Did win by 4 lengths in the Ellis Park race. Was shown the whip late, had plenty in reserve. I'm not quite so sure what he beat that day. You know, when Steve is taking horses to Saratoga, obviously he thinks he can win stakes with them. This one stayed at Ellis. I think he's got a bright future, but might just be a cut below the top horses in this race at this point in time.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch, though. That was a nice, visually it was impressive at Ellis. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because he, as you say, did choose Ellis versus Saratoga. All right, we wrap up the stakes action tonight with the Locust Grove. Interested to hear your thoughts here. Do we get past She Dares the Devil? I'm going to pull up the Clement Hirsch August 1st out at Del Mar. She Dares the Devil, number 7 horse, gets it done. Obviously, Latruska is at the head of the division, but if you're talking about horses that have some kind of opportunity of maybe upsetting that apple cart, She Dares the Devil is probably right at the top of that conversation. En Voutant, interesting on a best effort for Ken McPeak. Crystal Ball, potentially a player. Our Super Freak, again, on a best effort, maybe gets up in the conversation as well in here. But to me, it seems like it probably goes through She Dares the Devil. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the more we move deeper into the year towards the Breeders' Cup, the more we realize how good Latruska is. I mean, she's been swatting these horses away like flies in those races against her, including She Dares the Devil, who, you know, ran great to be third. Bonnie South came back out of that race to run well out of the Phipps. She Dares the Devil came back and won the Hirsch at Del Mar very impressively. I mean, she showed kind of sort of a new dimension by not being on the lead that day, which really bodes well for her moving forward, particularly with the outside draw here. If somebody else goes to the lead and she can sit right outside of them, she's going to be triply tough to beat. En Voutant gave her a run for her money earlier in the year in the La Troyenne, but proved to be no match in the stretch. You know, she likes Churchill Downs. You know, you see a lot of these races, Seth. Unfortunately, you know, She Dares the Devil looks like a strong favorite. I'm not going to try to oppose her. You see some of these races where you're like, man, that race isn't really all that bettable. We see a lot of those kinds of races, unfortunately, these days. But, you know, on the flip side of it, it's all about the star power. This horse is a legitimate star. You can maybe turn a pick 5 into a pick 4 if you're singular, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to try to go against her. Maybe some people will, and I hope they do.
Yeah, it's as you say, we had our share of those races up at Saratoga as well, where you get a short price and you can't really bet, but you got to say you saw a fabulous performance, and I think She Dares the Devil is one of those spectacular kind of horses that's worth watching. It just happened to come up in a year where Latruska's there, but that may set things up for a big battle at the end of the year as well, so looking forward to that. Joe, before we let you go, we've already alluded to it a couple of times. I had Greg Foley on up at Saratoga. We talked a little. Yes, it's Ginger. You've got got the Brilliant Racing Partnership. And I will tell people, I know there's some local folks involved. I run into them every once in a while. Hey, our Brilliant Horse is running here or there. And it's fun to root for local connections involved in horses. But if folks are interested, the Brilliant Racing Partnership that you have, go to brilliant horseracing.com. They can find out more there. But you had a couple of nice stakes wins this summer. I wanted to show both of them and let you brag a little bit. We talked to Greg Foley, and he talked about how fun it is working with you guys. And we talked, yes, it's Ginger. We're going to go back to this may be one of my favorite all-time stakes race names, June 27th. And if I remember right, well, the last time we talked to you was right at the end of the Churchill meet. And you said you were headed up to Chicago and then a quick turnaround to head down to Lone Star to see this stakes race. And we'll see Brilliant Racing's Yes, It's Ginger in the Chicken Fried Stakes, getting it done, be the number three horse in here, getting it done pretty easily. Talk about this kickoff to the summer with a nice stakes win.
Yeah, Travis Foley sent us the nomination form and said, hey, what do you guys think about taking a little road trip to Lone Star? We nominated, we entered. I went to Chicago, got to Chicago, and actually my mom's basement had flooded just the night before. They had a bad storm there. It was a bad situation. I was up all night dealing with that. Jumped on the plane, got there a couple of races before Ginger's race. You see how amazing she ran. It was fantastic on a lot of different levels, very emotional. We had a lot of our members there in person, and we're like, wow, that's the best race she's ever run by far. We were confident going in, but she kind of took her game to the next level at Lone Star. Raylou Gutierrez did a great job riding her. And then, you know, what's next? I mean, can she do this again? That was the big question. Nominated to the Ellis Park race, and that worked out pretty good too.
Yeah, we've got the replay of that coming up. It's the Kentucky Downs preview for the ladies sprint. This is back on August 8th. This is a nice full field of 12 in here. She's the number 10 horse and gets it done again pretty convincingly. So take us through the Ellis Park Stakes win.
Yeah, she got a 92 buyer in the Lone Star race, and we're like, man, can she do that again? Like, she was, you know, low to mid 80s in some of her best races. So we were confident again, but not completely confident, because she had to prove she could do it, you know, two times in a row. And she did. She ran the exact same buyer. She got a perfect pressing trip outside of Chris Hartman's speedy filly, wore her down in the stretch, and, you know, prove she's taking that next step into the upper echelon of turf sprinters in the Midwest. And couldn't be prouder of her. We had a lot of people at Ellis. Between our group and the tag team racing group with the Foleys, they had to take Ginger out onto the racetrack, out of the winner's circle to take the picture. We probably had about 75 people in the winner's circle picture, which wound up being the track picture. But yeah, I mean, we're super proud of her. She's better than ever at the end of her five-year-old year. We found out the same day that the Jazz Fest has been canceled at Fairgrounds because of the COVID situation, which means we will have turf racing the entire meet, and there'll be a race every month for her there. So keep her happy, keep her healthy. The Kentucky Downs race didn't go well. You know, we were automatically nominated. We had our entry fees paid. We had nowhere else to run. We knew the 6.5 furlong distance was going to stretch her probably beyond what she wanted to do. And when she wasn't going to get a piece of it, Tyler Gaffleone just took care of her, came out of the race great, and you know, set to move back forward again.
Yeah, it's always fun. Puts a smile on my face to see situations like this with folks that I know involved in horses, particularly partnerships. And as you say, when you can bring a big group in and get a stakes win, that's always a lot of fun. 6 wins and 19 starts, 5 seconds, $300,000 in the bank for Yes, It's Ginger. So we'll be looking forward to seeing her come back as well. And again, if folks are interested, brilliant horseracing.com. And I visited the website last night, and I guess there are some availabilities up for grabs right now as well.
Yeah, we're at the Keeneland sale, book 3. We might actually bid on something today. So if you're interested in getting in, and outside of Kentucky, Seth, I mean, our second biggest membership is in New York. We've got a lot of guys that you mentioned that you know. We've got some new people from New York getting in this year. We hope to have a horse with Cherie DeVoe running at Saratoga during the course of the next meet coming up. So we're kind of expanding our horizons. We are based in Kentucky. We are based at Fairgrounds in the winter, but we do run everywhere. And we're super excited. We're doing yearlings for the first time this year. We've raised already over $300,000. Your bills are paid for the first 15 months if you join up with us. And if you want to do it, get in touch with me soon, because literally when the hammer drops on the first horse we buy, partnership is closed.
Interesting. So, again, brilliant horseracing.com for more information and contact information as well. Joe, as always, appreciate the visit. A lot of fun. Good luck to you and everybody down there tonight. Again, congratulations on really putting together that, as I say, the pregame and the paddock commentary and whatnot that I think you guys have been very innovative with. But enjoyed the visit. Of course, we will talk again.
Horses and Hoops tonight, University of Louisville basketball team. The men's and women's teams will both be very prominent. So in addition to the great horse racing, we'll have a great social atmosphere as well, as we always do on Downs After Dark. And love joining you, Seth. Great talking racing, and thanks for the props.
Appreciate it. Joe Kristofek from Churchill Downs. Again, they kick off at 6 o'clock with that great stakes action we talked about. We will have the nighttime thoroughbred racing available here tonight on the network and via Capital OTB Bet. A little bit earlier, we talked with Anthony Stabile. Great stakes card at New York as well. And top of the show, Ron Gierkink with their big, big weekend up at Woodbine. So there's a lot of great action, as I said to start the show, across the country and beyond, because they're also north of the border. Let me remind you of the promos, because today we have a fan appreciation day at the Rivers Casino OTB branch. That'll go from 1 until 5. The first 50 patrons will receive a $2 bet voucher. So see if you can make a little free dough, a bet on us this afternoon. You also get a racing program for the first 50 folks. There's also a contest during the afternoon. That's Fan Appreciation Day at the Rivers Casino OTB branch in Schenectady, kicking off at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Tomorrow, as throughout the NFL season, it's Football Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We'd love to have you come on down, wear a jersey, and get in for free, but you can also win a jersey. Put your name on one of the squares. Maybe you win a restaurant voucher or a jersey. Again, that's every Sunday throughout the NFL football season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right. Phew. It was a busy day leading into a busy afternoon. I'll be back in, about an hour and a half or so to kick off OTB Live on this Saturday afternoon, taking you through much of the action. Should be a fun day. I think great stakes, notable horses, with the two-year-olds today at Churchill, the two-year-olds tomorrow at Woodbine. We have some future stars in the mix, certainly, so I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you are as well. We will wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Again, be back in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.